This episode of the Bama Beat Podcast is brought to you by The Shirt Shop and Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order at Zaxby's.com. That's Zaxby's.com. And welcome back to the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's. This is Clint Lamb, sitting here once again with Cecil Hurt. How are you doing this morning, Cecil?
Great. Clint, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. So, what I thought we would do here, obviously Alabama's coming off the bye week. They were able to get a little bit of rest. I just wanted to get, first of all, your initial thoughts on the upcoming opponent, Texas A&M. In the College Pick'em podcast we just recorded, I thought you made some great points. And for those that aren't interested in hearing the picks, I just want to hear Alabama A&M. Thought I'd give you a chance to kind of say how you think this game could potentially shake out.
Well, it's always been a unusual place for Alabama to play. Alabama's won the games out there for the most part. The shootout with Johnny Manziel and just some strange games with some strange scores. But so I think A&M's fans will be there. They'll be fired up. This is sort of a last stand game for them if they're going to accomplish anything in the SEC this year. And of course, it's the number one team coming to town, which is always a big, big deal. So it'll be a hostile environment. A&M has not played consistently. They've not played well. I thought they did a few good things against Clemson. I didn't think they looked very good against Auburn or in a win against Arkansas, although a win is a win, and there are positives you can take from the win. The question is how well Alabama can protect Tua. If they do protect him, how long can A&M cover and keep Alabama from scoring on big plays, which Arkansas hit some big plays on them. And nobody's been able to contain Alabama offensively yet. And then I think more intriguing is what A&M's going to do offensively. Kellen Mond has ability. Alabama's seen him a little bit, and he's not been consistent this year. He's had turnover issues, both fumbles and interceptions. But they hadn't had a running game. They hadn't been very effective. That they lost their preseason starter at running back, I think, in the second game.
They did.
Isaiah Spiller's come on and not been, particularly a fat. I think he had 7 carries for 0 yards against Arkansas. Now, I think Arkansas loaded the box a good bit and tried to make it tough to run, but A&M just hadn't been able to run. Alabama's defense so far has not shown to be 2011 or 2016 type of dominant defense. They've had a tough time getting off the field sometimes. Mond can make some plays. The more you leave him on the field, the more chance he's got to make something happen. So that's a big matchup. Alabama's been pretty good up front when everybody's been healthy. They've had an off week. LeBron Ray won't be back, but the others on the defensive front, I think, are Dale and Raekwon Davis and Fedarian Mathis, and I think they're pretty solid, going this week. So we'll see how that holds up. And Alabama needs to be interesting to see if Will Reichard's back and able to kick the ball.
Yeah, and I think that you make a great point. I think what's going to be tough is if A&M wants a chance in this game, it's going to have to come down to the play of Kellen Mond, which, that's nothing new. Like you had talked about in that Pick'em podcast, there's been a lot of situations where decent to solid quarterbacks had outstanding games against Alabama and has helped elevate their team to a victory. So it's certainly possible, and I just don't think that A&M's going to be able to effectively run the ball at all. That's by far Alabama's biggest weakness on defense right now. I wouldn't say it by far, but their strengths in their secondary and their pass defense, the experience back there, there's some things that you can more so maybe exploit with the two inside linebackers with the inexperience on the shorter stuff. But, right. The back half of the defense is by far the strong suit. So it's a matter of if A&M can't effectively run the football, then you're putting on the shoulders of Kellen Mond against Alabama's secondary.
Yeah, you've got to contain him. He's mobile enough to hurt you, and you've got it. And if they do what Texas A&M traditionally does, they'll take some deep shots if they can. So it's important to be sound. It's important to not get into a turnover, sloppy. And Alabama's had those games against A&M in the past. But so it's going to be intriguing. Again, I think without overstating it, I think A&M's season is really in the balance here. If they don't win this one, I don't know what their optimism is about winning against Georgia or LSU. That would be potentially five losses. I don't know that that's what anybody expected. At the start of the year, everybody understood it's a very difficult schedule when you had Clemson and Georgia to go along with your divisional opponents. But I think what Aggie fans are looking for more than wins necessarily are playing consistently. And they were fortunate to get out of Dallas 2 weeks ago with a win over Arkansas. So they've had an off week to work on some things. They'll have some tricks, I'm sure. So it'll be an interesting afternoon, I think, as it always is when Alabama goes out there.
Yeah. So what are some things with Alabama coming off the bye week? Obviously, you've kind of touched a little bit on some guys they should be getting back, whether that's this week or in the very near future. What are some other things that you believe Alabama was working on during the bye week to try to correct to help them later on in the season? Is there anything that stands out in your mind at all?
Well, obviously there are things that they need to do. You can only those linebackers, those inside linebackers, can only gain experience at the rate that they can gain experience. They've got a lot of film to work it with now. They've played five games. They've seen a lot of looks offensively. So hopefully the mental part of it was something that they really stressed. The other thing it'll be interesting to see is if there's indeed a punting competition.
That was the next question I was going to ask. Yeah,
Nick Saban says that there is. He's probably not going to announce a punter. It's almost like quarterbacks. You know, he's not going to announce a punter before the game. You know, whether first of all, I don't know if Will Riker will be back. B, if he is back, do you want him punting or do you want to save him just for place kicking? So could be Skylar DeLong, could be a walk-on. Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, and I think that's been probably the biggest question mark for Alabama, which is relatively surprising considering some of the other areas. It's just punting has been so inconsistent. And with they haven't been in a position where it's really bitten them up to this point, but it's very possible they could be in a situation later on.
Coverage is good, but sooner or later they're either going to get one blocked,
right,
or they're going to give up a big return just because the punt's a low line drive.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I mean, there's other areas too. I mean, Belovis, sure, you know, obviously missing a field goal in the last game against Ole Miss. Have we heard anything as far as the update with Will Reichard?
It'll be day to day. I doubt they kicked him much last week. I think they'll try this week and see where he is.
Right. And do you think that he gets back involved in the punting competition as well?
I don't know. You know, that's a different stress on your leg and your
right
hip.
The kickoff stuff too. I mean, it's all different.
Well, both of us' kickoffs have been fine.
They've been great.
So
yeah,
I don't know that you have to rush Will back on that. So, but you know, A&M will be good enough in the return game that you have to sort of respect that.
Yeah. Is it any guys that you're expecting that you've heard? I know that people have talked about Darian Dalcourt and the success that he's had in practice. It's probably more of a long term thing. You know, there's been guys that we've kind of talked about, Byron Young being another one. He's starting to get more playing time. Is there anybody else that you see maybe stepping up in the second half of the season? I mean, obviously not quite at the halfway point, but we're far enough along where Alabama, especially defensively, they need to try to start building some depth at some positions if they want to be able to sustain, especially when your defense is on the field for 85-plus plays, you know, against SEC opponents like they have been.
Well, I'll be interested to see on the offensive line. You mentioned Dalcourt, of course, and then Deontay Brown, who should make a lot of improvement. It's almost like he was starting over. The suspension was so long. And so this will be game two. You know, he got some action in game, what was game one for him on his return from suspension against Ole Miss. So it'll be interesting to see there. I guess at tight end, they kind of are what they are. It'll be interesting to see if a guy can kind of step, whether it's Tennyson or whether it's somebody else can sort of step up and compete for playing time in there. I think the wide receivers will be fine. I don't know that they're looking for anything different at that position.
Yeah, and I've also been curious because a lot of – obviously, Miller Forrestall, he's a good receiving option. I think Major Tennyson, he's better as a receiving tight end than as a blocking tight end. They flirted with the idea. They've moved Kendall Randolph a little bit, shifted him from guard to tight end. And, you know, he's, from what I've heard, looked pretty decent. We haven't seen a lot of him. We saw him towards the end of that that last game. Is he a guy that could end up getting in the mix, continue to work his way into the mix at tight end as like an extra offensive lineman?
I think so. I think at this point, it helps the running game a little bit, which has been something that they've wanted to do. And if you're not going to get the tight end involved in too many patterns, you might as well have the best blocker that you can. So that's not to say they'll never throw to the tight end again. You know, Tua tries to find the tight end if he's open, and they have some plays for it. They just don't have and you can't have everything, but they don't have an O.J. Howard or even an Irv Smith-type downfield threat at that position. Miller Forrestall's made some plays this year and, scored some touchdowns. So, but I don't know if in the quest to be more physical, if using a guy in a Brandon Green type role. Remember, Brandon did it a few years ago.
Absolutely.
And then had the big catch at LSU, but I don't know that that's the worst alternative that you could have.
Right. Well, all right, last question. Just, I thought I'd have to ask. I think we're far enough into the season where a lot can obviously still change, but we've seen enough games where you can start to kind of wrap your mind around who, is and isn't for real. Do you think right now that Alabama is the best team in the country?
I have not gotten to see. With an open week, I got to watch a lot of games. I thought, without knowing exactly where to put Utah State, they're a decent group of five opponent. But I think they got overwhelmed, and I think the heat got them a little bit in Baton Rouge, too. And also, LSU just played really well in all three phases. Oklahoma, I'll wait until Saturday to judge. Ohio State's certainly been dominant in the games that they've played. Clemson has not been dominant, and that's just an eye test thing. They both have the same record. They're both undefeated. But, Clemson hadn't looked sharp. Ohio State's looked very sharp. I'll be interested to see how Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan still just has the one loss. To see how those things shake out in the Big Ten. Georgia has been good. They're very good. Somewhere in between kind of LSU and Ohio State and Clemson on the look test.
Right.
Not quite as impressive to me as LSU and Ohio State have been, maybe a little bit more so than Clemson. Florida, I think, is going to end up being too limited on offense.
I think so, too.
Yeah. But we'll see how they shake out this weekend in Baton Rouge.
Perfect answer. I really appreciate you hopping on here with me, and we'll do this again soon. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's.